And in 37 years, I had that job. We started flying in January of '62, I think, when the KC-97, that was called a strato tanker, the strato cruiser, was used by United and Northwest. And maybe you just saw recently this airplane that ditched in the Hudson River.
Okay.
And they brought to light that there was a previous ditching where nobody was lost, and that was a strato cruiser in the middle of the Pacific, halfway between Hawaii and the States. And they lost engines or whatever, and they flew around until they ran out of, had a real low quantity of fuel, and then ditched in the, and everybody, well, there was a ship standing by, there was time. Back then, when you crossed the ocean, there would be a ship on station, not really moving, but providing a radio information for direction and safety, I suppose. And so they ditched with the plane, the same plane that I flew on.
Right.
So it's really a safe thing, you know. There's combat guys like yourself, and then there's these guys that really live a safe life. Anyhow, for 37 years, man, we did all kinds of things. I was on a flight that flew 24 hours. We took off from Milwaukee, flew all the way down, turned out to be my wife's hometown in the northeast corner of Florida, then all the way over to San Diego. And when we got close to San Diego, the navigator and the engineer were arguing, as the navigator wanted to go to San Diego. The engineer, who is the motor minder, he's constantly checking the quantity of fuels and the operation of the engines. He wanted to turn because he was worried about us having enough fuel. Being a tanker, there's tanks inside the airplane. We had it all filled with aviation gas, and it was planned to go 24 hours. Well, we got as far as Madison, and we would have run out of gas. So rather than crash halfway between Milwaukee and Madison, we landed there. So the big super deal of flying for 24 hours, all the people here in Milwaukee, they left, and we had a stop in Madison. I remember pouring gas over the wing, and you could hear it splash in the bottom of the tank. So we really didn't have much fuel left. And then when we got home, there was no fanfare, no nothing. But that was one flight. We went to Nicaragua. I went to Nicaragua twice. One time, the Mosquito Indians were flooded out, and we hauled a bunch of a kind of a meal, an all-around protein food. But we had a full airplane full of that stuff in 100-pound sacks or whatever they are. And then a couple years later, they had an earthquake in Nicaragua. And then we had six airplanes we took, went down there full of aid stuff. And stuff like what I can't... Oh, and one time I was on a flight that took... a guy who kidney transplants were something new back then. And we took a guy from Milwaukee to Boston. It was the only place where he could get this kidney transplant. And that was the whole purpose of the flight, flying him there and coming home again. And what other... I'm trying to think good things other than war things. During the Vietnam era, we had these. The KC-97 has four propellers, and later they added two jets, one on each wing. And in Vietnam, they had the newer tanker, the KC-135. They didn't really have a need for us there. So our role was to go to Germany for 10 years, we did, to keep those fighters stationed over there, trained on the air-to-air refueling. There was not too many 135s available, so we took that role. So 2 weeks, sometimes 3 weeks, sometimes 4 weeks a year, I would go to Germany when I could get off from my civilian job. Fantastic. Again, it was just the greatest life. After a while, you get to know all the people in the restaurants and where to go shopping. It was really great. And plus, we kept the U.S. Air Force trained for that whole 10-year period. That lasted to, I think, 67 to 77. And then maybe a year or two later, 78 or 9, I've forgotten, we got the KC-135, the jet tanker that's still used today. And anyhow, then those our old airplanes went to the boneyard at Davis-Monthan in Tucson, Arizona. And we started flying the all-jet airplane that cut the crew down. Instead of 5 people, pilot, co-pilot, navigator, flight engineer, and boom operator, there was no need for a flight engineer because jet engines are real simple. It's simply one shaft that spins. The front part is a bunch of compressing stations, which squeezes the air together, and way at the back end they add fuel and start the fire, which makes the turbine go, which keeps the rest humming. So that jet engine's very... For recip engines, there's a million parts. And so anyhow, then we got the 135 without the flight engineer, and it was always nice having another enlisted guy who would be with you when you went across countries. But and now since I've gotten out, they've gotten rid of the navigator. It's just pilot, co-pilot, and boom operator, because everything is all, we call it glass cockpits. Okay. Everything's on computer, and we don't really need a navigator any longer. So then after that, then we got a part of our mission was alert duty. That's because during the Cold War, there was all kinds of secret plans for B-52s and other airplanes to fly to an adversary, most likely Russia, right? And then to get that, for them to get there, oh, that's the whole purpose of air-to-air refueling, is to extend the range of the cargo planes, fighter planes, or bombers. So the bombers can never make it way over to their target and back again. So as many bombers, there's almost as many tankers that were involved in the Cold War.